Heavenly Father, we're very grateful for your wonderful presence, which we know has been vindicated to us, even given us by the mechanical eye of the camera reproduced in a scientific form. So there is no doubt what the camera caught, what the prophet saw, what any is amongst us doing, the marvelous things according to the word, proving yourselves to us, proving your word, and proving ourselves to us. Lord, we're very grateful for that. It's come full circle. As the prophet said, in that day you shall know that I am in you and you and me. All together, that beautiful family of God. We do thank you for that tonight. Now teach us further concerning your word in this hour of trial and temptation, Lord, that we might not be deceived in any manner, but be completely separated, sanctified by the gospel unto immortality. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, Brother Branham mentioned that this age was the most deceiving age of all ages. And it, of course, is the age of the lie. And the lie, of course, is you shall not surely die, but live. Now, the question would come, how did the devil bring death? He brought death by deceiving Eve into believing that she was not what God had already demonstrated that she was. Satan told her he would make her what God had already made her and said she was. So therefore he fashioned her, and she thinks, of course, that it's God who is fashioning her. Today Satan is telling the bride she is not what she is, and he's telling the church she is what she is not. And Brother Branham's sermon on Satan's Eden helps us to understand the truth of this terrible hour of deception. So, tonight we start message number 23 of Satan's Eden. Now, Adam had the mind of God back in Genesis. And through Adam, so also did Eve have the mind of God, which she would not have had except for Adam. And having Adam, she had that mind of God just as though and equally as though God had dealt with her instead of Adam. Now notice in Genesis, the second chapter, and the seventh verse, it says, "And God, the Lord God, formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." With that, we read 18 to 20, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Now, you'll notice what he says there, and then what he says next, and what happens. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air." Now, they already were there. "And he brought them unto Adam, who was not at that time in physical form when they were made, but now is, paraded them all before him, and to see what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." Now you'll notice in there that this anointing that Adam had was that inner anointing of the Holy Spirit, having the mind of God. And he was able to place everything correctly, not by his own ability or ingenuity, but by the Holy Spirit teaching him. As Brother Branham said, back in those days when Adam was governing the earth with Eve, it was like a dispensation of the Holy Spirit moving. As the Holy Spirit moves upon us, more correctly, Brother Branham could have said, as the Holy Spirit moved upon him, so the Spirit of God was moving upon this man that he had placed in the garden. And consequently, the moving then would also be with his wife Eve. But notice now, Eve puts on the mind of Satan. Right? Eve puts on the mind of Satan and thereby comes into Satan's image. Now, you might wonder about that, but you get changed from image to image, glory unto glory, through the process of the Word. We'll take that up in 2 Corinthians. So Eve now comes in the image of Satan through the mind, and Satan fashions her. She left God's headship and now comes under Adam's headship. You notice that took place afterwards. She was co-equal with Adam before God. She leaves God, and now she is placed under Adam. And this is where you get Brother Branham's vision of the woman who was his mother and the husband was the organization of denominations. So you get your type right in the Garden of Eden as to what has happened and why organization is subsequently and even dynamically of the devil. Now, to see this even more clearly, we go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, where God unveils to the prophet Isaiah what he has not hitherto unveiled and made known to anyone else. This is why Brother Branham categorically said that in his ministry, those things which were not known from before the foundation of the world were made known to us and can be made known to us legally. Though men deny the power of the prophet, I get so angry I could tear things to shreds and spit tacks. Because they don't know the Word, nor desire to know the Word, nor anything of the Holy Ghost, and act as though they did just as Eve did. Listening to the Word of Satan and becoming more and more in his image, so is the church. God makes known literally thousands of years later what was not known in the book of Genesis or to any other prophet. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Almost an exact appellation of Jesus, whom Jesus in the form of Michael led in the worship of God. And Satan stood right there at the hand of God. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? He's thrown down to the earth. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And that is exactly what the devil said to Eve. You'll be just like God. You'll be perfect prophets also. Notice in Genesis, the third chapter, 4 and 5, and the serpent said, you shall not surely die. Death is not for you, but what is for you? Why, he said the same thing that's for me. For God doth know in the day he throweth in, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. She already was. Fooled her into denying her genealogy. How many people believe Melchizedek, as Brother Branham preached it, your genealogy goes back to God? So genetically and generically, children of Almighty God, from his loins, which is his minds, being genes of Almighty God, put into a vessel of clay. She evidently didn't believe who she was. Brother Branham said, when the bride knows who she is, she'll be caught away. Do you see the understanding we're talking about tonight? When's the bride going to know who she is and did not stop denying who she is? While the church stands by, prating her and showing her immorality, boasting she is the bride of Christ. I want to ask you a question. Did the church ever repudiate the stand that she would become as? Literally take the place up. She never did. And that's what Brother Branham said the church has done. Satan has deceived the church into worshiping him by the church taking the place of Jesus Christ. Notice again, as we go back to Isaiah chapter 14. And in verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Go back to Genesis 2:16 and 17. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of dying thou shalt surely die. He said, look, I dealt with Satan. And Satan, the Bible says, was in Eden according to Ezekiel 28. He said, you were in the mount of the fiery stones, you were in Eden. And he said, I brought Satan down, and I will bring you down. You cannot come against the word of God, and that's exactly what happened. Now notice how Satan having deceived Eve, in that she already was what Satan promised her that she would be. And we see that over here in Genesis, the third chapter, and in verse 8. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. She already was a prophetess. God's prophets. God had already talked to her and was talking to her. And he said, look, I am going to make you this. She denied what she was. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you got to bring that down right home tonight. To begin to understand that is exactly what Satan attempts to do. As I've said already, is to get the bride to deny exactly who she is, so that now she tries to become what she can't become unless she is. How can anybody here be my son or my daughter unless you come out of my loins? How are you going to be a son or daughter of God unless you come from the source? That's why the Bible speaks of adoption, which is the placing of sons. Not the making of sons. It's because you are sons, God sends forth His Spirit. But you try to get that across to anybody but who exclusively believes who is this Melchizedek, and you can't do it. Now you wonder why I fuss. Well, I enjoy it. If you want to know the direct, downright truth of it, I enjoy what I fuss about. They can't take it from me. They try. Headquarters, so-called, says Lee Dale's got his own message. They never knew I preached Brother Branham and wrote him before the prophet died. They don't know now that I preach him. I don't know they ever will. So notice how deceived Eve was, and that she already was what Satan promised her to be. And believing him, she both interrupts God's plan of Genesis 1:28, replenish the earth, multiply, and interjects another seed that has nothing to do with the commandment's fulfillment. Now, if you don't believe that, come on. Genesis 3:15, and see the serpent seed. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. There was no commandment. There is no word of life to a certain seed. Then how are you going to get past predestination, a limited atonement, and the numerically perfect, not one less and not one more bride? You still wonder how it is that Noah's family never got in the ark? He was the only one. He was the last perfect individual. Had he had a brother or sister, it would have been just like him. But he was that odd one like Jesus. And the only thing was that God was saving those eight whose bodies were not genetically and generically perfect, but they had within the seed the inner soul. And they came within the ark knowing in the resurrection they would get their perfect body. See what we're looking at. You look all the way to Revelation chapter 20, 7 to 15, and you will see in there what we are looking at. The filling of the earth with the children of God after the interruption. Now they come there. Now notice also in Revelation chapter 12, 7 to 9, I believe is what I want. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They didn't have a place. They were finished. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. That is the ancient serpent. That's the one in the Garden of Eden. Called the devil, even Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast on the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I want you to notice something here. This old fella is called it. He is called. He actually doesn't have a name. There isn't a real record of him. And there isn't any record of serpent seed anywhere. There are those who never had a name, even in the book of life. You don't call them by name. You just call them by what they are, serpent seed. But every one of God's children, like sheep, they're called by name. Now be advised and listen carefully. What I just said is the alpha, or the beginning of God's plan for his own race through his two children. That's what's back there. And watch the omega and see the church disbelieve the end time word. The church absolutely does not believe the end time word. In other words, they do not understand who they are. They cannot tell you who they are. They are like the wild ass. They do not know their pedigree. Brother Branham said so. He said they're not like the thoroughbred horse that knows the pedigree. And we looked at, we saw that even in the Greek. The Bible concerning pedigree. That was that way back from the very beginning. I have begotten you. I have set you forth pedigreed. Christ the great pedigree, and we in the pedigree. All in him. Even as there was one seed that God planted, orange seed, had in it every orange that would ever grow upon that tree. And Christ had in him. And we were in him before the foundation of the world. Now, we're going to 2 Thessalonians. And we see the picture that's brought to us in the second chapter and third verse. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now, it tells you right here that a man is going to do the deceiving. It is not a beast per se like the serpent. It is not a created and formed creature from the field. But it is now part of the human race, the one lump. Let no man deceive any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now it tells you right there, you'll be clued into the exact truth of what is known through history, but probably not known truly, so that people are guessing exactly as to who and what this figure is. There must be a revelation of who and what before it can be pinpointed exactly as to the person, even as concerning John the Baptist. And the forerunner then took upon him flesh. So therefore, at a specific time within this generation, here in speaking of the descent of Christ, pillar of fire, and over here, there will be a revelation given which will absolutely coincide with the beginning of this person here who will be the Antichrist and revealed manifestly. Just like John the Baptist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Well, it tells you right there what race he came out of. It tells you who is the image, whose image he's in, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Remember not, when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what's holding it back, that he might be revealed in his time. So you have the dynamics of the Word of God setting this forth, as it was in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Then you have the angel coming and saying, yes, now is the time, this is what it is, and how it will be. Then you have the literal. You say, why? Because God does everything in three. Doesn't do 2, 1, 5, 6, 7. He does it in threes. Now, for the mystery of iniquity already worked. Now it says, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So you see, we're right on target what we're saying. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now that, of course, is the son of perdition ministry of Judas that lines with the ministry of the Son of Man, which leads to the man of sin. Just as Jesus' ministry led to the man of righteousness. Behold my righteous one. And the fact that God put him upon the cross and shed his blood for you and me proves who he was. But notice, this one comes back, Jesus, and destroys this one. And now don't watch this person. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now notice, just like Cain and Abel, the deception in the garden brought forth an act of righteousness by Abel and an act of unrighteousness by Cain. So what is this person going to bring forth? He's going to bring forth unrighteousness in the church. This one brings forth righteousness in the church. We're solidly allied with Abel and not with Cain. And with all deceivers, unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Notice, exactly the same thing as in the garden. Eve could not take the love of the truth. Now, did you notice something? Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. What is it? The lie is, you shall not surely die. For you are surely sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. And you're not. Now, how many brides are going to go whimpering from now on? Oh, God, I ain't. Oh, God, I ain't. Oh, God, I ain't. Now, I'm not going to belittle you, because, hey, I'm as bad as you are and worse. When you consider the knowledge that I have gained from God, I'm worse than all of you put together again. But this is something we must come to grips with and state our position. Because Brother Branham said it's when the bride knows who she is when she gets out of here. And you get, he said, 10 in one place or one mind, she'll be gone. And because, and then the one mind is indicates this, 10 people will recognize who they are. Now, let's keep reading. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, traditions in this respect is a good thing. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation, good hope to grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And you'll notice the word comes before the works. That's exactly where Cain missed it. That's exactly where Eve missed it. That's where Adam deliberately went astray. See? All right. Now, remember what I read here. We are bound always to give thanks because God has chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. The Spirit and the truth work together. They do not work apart. Any man says he's got the Holy Ghost baptism and denies the word's got to be a liar flat out. You got to see what spirit he's of. Now listen, let's go a little further. These people have pleasure in unrighteousness. They're like Cain. The unrighteous act is condemned by God. An act of worship condemned by God. Okay, get your thinking caps on. Brother Branham categorically said, when you were in your father desired fellowship with you. Sons and daughters have fellowship as a source of worship. These merely worship. As much as they claim fellowship, and as much as they claim sonship, it is a void claim because they turned down the word. Now listen, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to 10. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's just like the book of Malachi. It positively says there's a day coming when the earth will burn like an oven and every single wrong seed's going to be burnt up, leaving neither root nor branch, and it hits bang, bang, bang. I'm going to come in here and I will tear up, I will rip down, I will send a fire, I will destroy, but unto you the love of my name, I rise with healing. But everybody gets so scared of the first verse, you're shocked. And you can't listen to the law of parallelism, blessing and cursing, or the twins. Now listen, you who are troubled, rest. There's a time of violent judgment coming. Rest. I'm coming down with my fan in my hand to destroy. Rest. See, well, yeah. I wish God didn't talk to me. But why don't you bring him down here to the big club and tell him how to talk? Go ahead. First, you've got to catch him. Being spirit, you might hit the wrong one. Little foolish, isn't it? We ought to talk these things back and forth with each other. Instead of these other junky things coming up. In flames of fire, they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord who said, I'm coming to do something for you. I'm going to come and be glorified in the saints and admired in them. Because Paul's word, not one word added, not one word taken, perfect revelation based upon the dynamism of vindication, believed in this day. Now, come on. Am I feeding you a lot of horse manure, or am I giving you the word of God? Now, pardon my language, but I'm going to lay it on the table. Now, if you've got the guts to call it horse manure, come on. Get right beside me. I'm not William Branham, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm meeting you face to face at the judgment right tonight, not tomorrow. And I'll be the witness against you. I'm not going to lie to any of you people. I'm not lying now, and I'm not trying to be dramatic. I am telling you the truth. This. Those two pictures show it. The pillar of fire and the cloud of angels. the cloud of angels being him coming with his mighty messengers. Coming, setting up vengeance where the earth will burn, but rest under the seventh seal. Relaxation. The presence of God. But it's just a doctrine. I told you people for years they don't believe like we do. Is that a doctrine? How many believe this message? That's the thing that counts. Not what some preacher says. It's not what Leavale says. It's what William Branham said. And I'm looking here in Scripture, hundreds of Scripture, to show you the prophet never missed one trick. In that day of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, in the day of the revelation of the Son of Perdition, the two spirits in opposing forces, both bringing their revelation, one based upon a genuine scriptural vindication of prophet, another based upon Scripture simply being fulfilled, which God said it would be fulfilled as far back as the day of Pentecost when he poured his Spirit upon all flesh. And all would prophesy and all would manifest gifts. But he said in Matthew 7, there's a day coming when I'll talk to all of those men that don't belong to me. Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You like Cain, who brought a beautiful sacrifice. You like Cain, who presented yourself. You like Cain, who stood there as though you were a child of God. You like Cain, who tried to worship, but you didn't have the fellowship. You weren't in my loins. Now, what word was Brother Branham talking about the adopted son? He listened to his daddy's word. It was the obedience of faith to bring down the stronghold of the carnal mind to place itself under the wisdom and power of Almighty God in this last day, the anointed word of life. Yeah, that's what it's about. And what is that word of this hour? It is Revelation 10:1-7. The mighty one coming down at the time of the prophet on earth. The one off the throne. Revelation 10:1 is absolutely Revelation 5:1. It is also 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. When that one comes down, Jesus himself doing all three and descending. It is also Revelation 3:20-21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear, any man listens, any man will do something about it. In other words, if I can attract that man's attention. Remember, John heard a voice like a trumpet, and he turned to see the voice. And Brother Branham said he turned to see if it was a scriptural voice. Now at the end time, Jesus said, I am down here knocking on the door. I am right here on earth. And I am pleading an entrance to the church which kicked me out. Now if any man hear my voice, it's the same voice of Hebrews chapter 12. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. You are now back in a fellowship. It is not a worship, though it is worship. What greater worship could there be of an adoring child to the Father who embraces him in love and kindness to his breast? You want worship, brother, sister, and love. You can't get it without sonship. It is impossible. And sons will hear the word because the bride is separated by the washing of water by the word. Sanctified by the word. There isn't any other process. Now, let us go further. Let us go to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And you know I just love to weave back and forth in Hebrews and Scripture. And if I lose you, don't feel too bad. This tape is, we got two recordings so that if one tape goes bad, you got another one there. Well, you can borrow my notes. They won't do you any good, but you can borrow them anyway. Now listen, let's go to Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Now it tells you the ignorant. Now remember, it was the ignorant at the time of John the Baptist, and they were not willfully ignorant and in willful disobedience. They just didn't know. So what's he going to do? He's got a high priest for him. He's got somebody to officiate, to mediate. That's why prophets are mediators. And every one of us is Messiah. It has a portion of being a mediator. I know, listen, some of you people, let your minds go. Listen, please, I almost said for God's sake. Please, for my sake, let your minds go. And don't think you're hearing things that you're not hearing and you're getting a wrong understanding. It's too much baby stuff going on yet. I don't pretend to be grown up. Not for one minute. But listen, let your minds go to understand these things here. This high priest has got to be a part of it. And by reason thereof, he ought as for the people, so also himself offer for sins. And no man takes this honor upon himself, but he that's called of God, which was Aaron. Now, listen, this is an example. This is the Old Testament history. Now, here's the New Testament. So also Christ glorified not himself, be called an high priest. But he that said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Now, listen. Watch what we're talking about. He said, this day you are my son, because I have begotten you. I have declared a genealogy. I have set forth a pedigree. And he looked upon the sun, S-O-N, that light as Brother Branham said, as a child playing round his father's throne, the father commending him, God in Christ for the production of the universe. Let us make man in our image. Now listen, that one said, thou art my son. He also said in another place, progression now sets in. What progression? Elevation. You are not only my son, you are a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is my own order. You follow me? Come on. He's not just a son. Now he's gone to high priest. You've gone from saint, whether you went from haint to saint, and from church to bride. Mortality, immortality. From rapture to wedding supper. Sitting in the throne. We see a progression. Who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications, strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared? Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, notice further. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, now, you notice I left 11 to 14 because you're in tribulations. Call of God of high priest. Now, he goes from son to priest. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go to perfection. Not laying again the foundation, repentance of dead works, and the faith toward God, darkness, baptism, laying on of hands, and resurrection ends, and of eternal judgment. We'll do this if God permits. Now, there is another progression. He goes from high priest and mediator to his conclusion that God set before him. You follow what I said? The word perfection means conclusion. It means a finishing off. It means you can't take anything out and you can't add anything. You set it in perfect order according to the designing engineer that designed it and engineered it. Huh? This day have I begotten thee. This diad made you high priest, right? You follow me? Number three, perfection. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20 beginning. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead, from amongst the dead. And for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be made alive. That's it. Everyone in Adam is going to come back. And everyone in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they there Christ at his parousia, at his presence. Now listen, why? Because they all come up at the time of the presence. He came down to bring us a message, to raise the dead, to catch us away. Progression, progression, progression. Now there's a progression here. Then cometh the end. You see? Perfection. Huh? You follow? We're looking at a conclusion. We're looking at a perfection. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Right. When he sits on the throne and the pillar of fire above the throne, and the Son is completely one under and with the Father, and we with him, and in the midst of the church, we all sing praise unto God. And he said, these are my brothers and sisters. We all have one Father. Amen. They can worship because they are progeny. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? Now, who is doing this? Who is doing this great act for Jesus? You are my Son. I've begotten you. You are my high priest. Now, you are the end of it. All power in heaven and earth given unto me. Everything that God was in the genes, he poured into Christ. There's your kenosis of Philippians, as Brother Branham taught us, the unveiling of the mighty God. All right, now, here we see perfection. In verse 24, we see the end. Then cometh the end, then cometh that perfection. That's exactly what Paul was teaching in Hebrews. See? All right. Now, it is described in 25 and 26. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now said, God is doing that in order to put Jesus Christ in the complete supremacy that lies in God. The utmost of wisdom and the utmost of power and the utmost of the essential called love or Godism is now in him. And he stands there as a human vessel. Now, listen. The end. And described in verses 25 and 26. And is finalized in verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself become subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now you're looking at that. The three phases, because he does things in three. Now, finalized in verse 28, where we see Eden. We see Eden. Right? God moving through Adam and Eve in the earth. Now, God and his children in the perfection of fellowship. New Jerusalem. Also, we see the ends of parts and progressions. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says here, in verse 8, shall love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, therefore, you'll notice that we are coming to a place that is a capstone or a plateau from which everything else springs. When is it? When that mighty one comes down to set the church in order and everything in order, that all things may be truly put under the feet of Jesus Christ so that he can hand it back to the Father, and you're right back to the master plan completed that God uttered in the Garden of Eden. See? Now, he says here, When as a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, became a man, I put away childish things. Listen, let's understand this. This could be, I don't know I'm telling you the truth tonight, but let's just pretend. Here's a child playing around his father's door. And Brother Branham said, looking over the balustrades of heaven, we see that sun, that light out there, that sun. And he says something, and spew out there, this goes this thing out here, and spew goes out there. The universe is coming to be, and chunk falls off the sun, begins to cool millions of years. And the father said, that's great. You know what? That's a child doing it. As a young man in progression, he dies upon Calvary as the noble Lamb of Almighty God. Another progression. He's taken up there at the right hand of the majesty. And now there's a further progression. Jesus is about to become the true man. Better get about 4 tapes ready. Haven't got 10. So you see what we're talking about in this progression here. See, he put away creation. See, he's growing up, continuing, coming up to full headship. Now, we see through a glass darkly. We follow in the same path. We forget our presence with God back there. Brother Branham said, without a theophonic form, you can't remember. But now, it's beginning to come into place. We see through glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am known. Now I'm looking at this as foreknowledge, by vindication, because we have the word, the waters of separation. We know that we are right. And you don't step out of the reality. As Paul said, it will be vindicated at the end time. It's you people who believe what I have said will get you away from the Antichrist and put you where you ought to be. And Brother Branham, beyond the curtain of time, he said, I preach what Paul preached. And they said, we're resting on that. See, they left their old mortal bodies here in a theophonic form. They knew the past. They know the present. And they're looking for the future to begin to come on back. Now, how does this all take place? It takes place perfectly in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, concerning Israel and its mind. The veil is upon the mind when Moses is read. Let me tell you this, the veil is upon the mind when Paul is read. That's what's wrong. Everybody talks about Paul. They haven't got a clue to what he said and why he said it. Everybody talks about Brother Branham. They haven't got a clue either. If they don't have a clue about Paul, they can't have a clue about William Branham. Amen. If they can't believe in the pillar of fire that brought the word, they can't believe in the pillar of fire that explains the word. Amen. If you can't take a prophet that brought it, you can't take a prophet to reveal it. Anyway, they don't believe in prophets, so that takes care of that. Now listen, the veil of Paul is upon their minds. What veil of Paul? Not the original. They'd already blown that. It was another Jesus, another spirit, another word. But they call it Paul. In fact, one of the guys that wrote one of the best books on Paul and his journeys, everything else they claim is a spirit is, I think named Corney Barenhausen. Phew, my. When the devil can explain God, you got a good time coming, kid. Yeah. I could say something, but it'd be facetious, so let it go. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. John came without the veil of Moses on his face. And I'm talking now the veil of perverted traditions of Moses. they were gone with their traditions veiled. Now, then Jesus came, and he couldn't take the veil away either. But we all, with open face, like they, due to the Spirit, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. In other words, seeing Christ come forth, living, manifested from the pages. As back there. He came forth to be the Savior. He came forth to be the risen high priest. But he's got to come back different today. He's got to come back through the pages and come into visibility by manifestation in order to change a bride. Get them out of the dust and get them for the wedding supper. Now we all with open face. If you haven't got the veil clipped off, you're out of luck. If you can't change your mind, you're finished. You can be in Jesus only tonight, you're going to miss it. You're Trinitarian, you're going to miss it. So now I'm a worse duck than ever. I don't even believe in the presence of Jesus Christ, but I believe in the Father and His Son the way Paul believed it. So I've got to be wrong. But I'm right. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul said this ministry of his went plumb to the end. What was his ministry? It was a word. And the living word in the mouth of a doorknob, if it had one, is the same living word as it was in the mouth of Paul. So William Branham came with the same word. It's going to have the same results. You won't faint. You shall relax. Fainting and relaxing are two different things. Now, if I should suddenly feel gooey and good and just and sort of relax on the floor, someone would say, well, he ain't relaxing. He'd get mighty scared. You say he's fainted. And I got news for you. I have fainted. And fainting is not the same as relaxing. You don't faint, therefore you relax. What's all this talk about people dying of heart trouble? More heart trouble than in any age. Failing with fear. Arteries clogged up with cholesterol, calcium, junk. Sign of the times. The life can't circulate. Typing, everything types. Nothing that doesn't type. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience, sight of God. That's got to come back. But if our gospel be hid or veiled, it's hid to those that are lost. Veiled to the gospel of Paul by a wrong veil. Let the skilled hand of a prophet wield that sword, which is a double-edged blade, cutting in both directions, attacking the perverted word of Paul. How does he do it? By correcting it. When it's corrected, the true word comes forth by revelation. And that person, what happens? In whom they said, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now listen, it's going to come out of the word and shine unto them. And what's it going to do? It's bringing a progression. The same as Christ is now in his progression, he is now on the Father's throne. So the bride is in a progression. I spoke of this in the Omega Reflection. In a progression. And the progression is, Brother Branham told us, the Spirit of God comes into the church to tell the bride what hour she is, the great mysteries in her position, and he's done it. And when you see yourself there, your fear is gone. Oh, I know it's only live or die, sink or swim, but that's good enough. I got nothing beyond that myself. But I ask a question, where would I turn? Drop dead. Amen. I got no case to turn. I'm not interested. If I'm going to hell, let it be with bells on. If I'm going to be shot for a dog, let it be a good one. Never mind this nonsense they're trying to tell you. You got to get back to the Pauline gospel, and you can't do it unless the one that brought it reveals it. Because that's exactly how Paul said he came. We're not going to change it. And this is how it's going to be. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And you'll find in this sermon of Brother Branham's here, that's what the preachers are doing. They're establishing themselves instead of the Word of God. And Brother Branham did not establish himself. I don't know, some of you folk been around, Jeff, not as much as I have because you're not as old, but I've gone down there time after time, sat with Brother Branham, and he never did prevail upon anybody to come to his church, though he would have had the biggest church in town from his ministry. He preached not William Branham. He preached Christ. Of course, I'm guilty for preaching William Branham. They hate my guts for that, too. I preach them both. How are you going to separate them? He said, if I told you I was an Elijah incarnate, if you didn't believe, it wouldn't do you no good. Was he just being sarcastic, a little bitter, a little snotty? What was he doing? Come on, come on, come on. Oh, God help us, center on this word till everything else fades. It's the only hope we got. You'll jostle each other like there's cars in the streets, but you get nowhere unless you're centered on this word and make that the important thing, because that identifies the family of God in a worship which is communion. And that's the last sermon he preached. Fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. And then God said to the last day to Abraham, he said, I'm not going to hold from Abraham the things I'm going to do. He's my friend. Came right down, ate with him, sat with him, ate the flesh of an animal, drank the milk. If he drank the milk or not, for sure. You're not supposed to drink milk when you seed the kid. Well, that's before the law, so he could have drunk it. No problem. Never mind the law anyway. Now, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Change from image to image. Now, what is that last image that he's going for now? Well, he's high priest. And we'll be priests and kings unto God. We'll sit in the throne with him. There's a progression, brother, sister. And as I taught years ago, not knowing I'd say the words I'm saying tonight, back in 1977, I first preached the presence, almost identical, 14 years after Brother Branham preached. It was in March, I believe, when I was preaching. Almost positive. I told you back in 1980 and 81 how that every one of these words, apocalypse of Perusia, Phanerol, all these words started right here and increased in their intensity to the perfect day. And you can see it right here in the scripture. Don't tell me God doesn't help his people. Now listen. Notice Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We've looked at it time after time. Now Paul says here we are not approaching to Mount Sinai where there's fear and a terrible sight. No, we are in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7 in relaxation. You follow me? I don't care if he's come to destroy the world. It has nothing to do with me. Everybody's supposed to be saying, well, Brother Vail, aren't you a dirty kind of a guy that you don't sit back and cry for those people? We say, well, you know, God loves a sinner, but he hates the sin. If that's the case, how come the blood hasn't cleansed every sinner and he's forgiven him? You know, you got screwed up thinking, brother, sister, some of you. Maybe I'm the one screwed up, but I'm going to blame you. Because Brother Branham said the perfect love, the original love, is going to come back in the church. So the church hasn't had it with their crazy thinking and thoughts about the atonement, the presence of God, and all these things. And I'll tell you, they'd burn us at the stake if they could. They love us. Yeah, they love us. Now listen, you're coming to Mount Zion. That's what he says here. In the last day when that one speaks from heaven, that one comes down in Revelation 10, 1 to 7. He says, you are facing Mount Zion. Why? Because we are Mount Zion. We're facing new recovery. We're new recovery of the angels, messenger, the general assembly of the firstborn, church of the firstborn, names written in heaven, facing God the judge of all. The spirits of just men made perfect. In other words, it's finished. You've concluded the act. Now the curtain's ringing down. And when the curtain rings up, it'll be a whole new panorama with a whole new people. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. If you escape not, he refused him that spoke on earth. Much more should we not escape, return him that speaks from heaven, or the one from heaven that's now speaking, whose voice, the same one whose voice shook the earth in Mount Sinai, has come down, and this time it's not Sinai that gets shaken, it's the entire world. Isn't that what he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? When he vindicates the saints and brings judgment? Isn't that identical to Malachi 4, the earth burning as an oven, but you'll tread upon the ashes of the wicked, you'll come back. Isn't that Revelation chapter 19, the white horse and the saints? Certain it is. For we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. It's like Jesus receiving from God. So are we objects of His manifested love, the same as Jesus. Now listen, and this takes place on the basis of Hebrews 5 and 10. Let's go back and look at it. Of whom you have many things hard to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Who is it? That's Melchizedek. Now watch. Hebrews 6, 13 and 20. And when God made promise to Abraham, because he could, swear by no greater, swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Now notice he says, look, I'm not going to come and send a blesser. I'm not going to send messengers. I'm going to come myself, the blesser with the blessing. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will bless you. Oh, come on. Keep your finger there. Turn back to John. First chapter of John. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to be the sons of God, position, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the or of which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In multiplying, I will multiply you. In multiplying, I will multiply myself through you. Said to Abraham. Now, after you patiently endured, you attained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and oath of confirmation of them and end of all strife. Wherein God, more willing, more abundantly, show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Hogwash. He intervened himself. We already had his oath. Hey, if I don't have sufficient funds in my bank, and I don't put any more funds in, and my check to you bounces, every other check will bounce. The Word of God doesn't bounce. He himself came down. Amen. The Rhema Logos God. And people try to tell you, John, that Rhema and Logos are different. They're liars. The Jews never understood Rhema and Logos to be different. It's one and the same. God is his word. Say, I believe in the God of heaven. I believe in the God of creation. I believe in the... I don't believe in the God of heaven. I don't believe in the God of creation. I believe in the God of his word. You believe what you want. You'd get taken to cleaner so fast if you believe anything different, you're sunk. You hit just where the devil wants you. Oh, the God of creation, hallelujah. The God of the church, hallelujah. The God of this. No! The God of the Word. I'm a part of that Word. What are you? Mule belongs to mule, horse belongs to horse, pig belongs to pigs. Sons of God belong to God. Generically, genetically. Will soon have a body commensurate. Intervened himself, interposed himself, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation and a thread for refuge. What is the hope we have? A God who came down and vindicated his word visibly right there. You do what you want about it. We have a hope set before us. We're fleeing for refuge in this last hour. It's the anchor of our soul. It enters within the veil. Whether the forerunner is entered, even Jesus, made and high priest forever. See where he is? We're perfectly safe. Perfectly secure in the presence of Almighty God, who cannot abide sin. Walking amongst us, appearing in congregation, having his picture taken, proving his word, proving his presence, manifesting. And we're perfectly safe sitting there, relaxed. For just as we lack sense of prophet God, because God takes the man but not the spirit. Pillar of fire is going to lead us in the millennium. Now listen, we read it. Right to Hebrews, the 20th verse. Now, with this, what I'm reading here is right in Satan's Eden, what I've got in mind, going back to the garden and what is happening in the church. So just hold on with me. Now, with this, we want to look at something it seems all Bible students overlook when they read Hebrews 6 and 17. And Hebrews 6 and 17 is God interposing himself, coming right on down with his word, perfectly manifesting, and saying, hey, this is it. Now watch. Hebrews 6, 17, which is actually Melchizedek, because he's talking about Melchizedek, is found in Genesis 12, 17 to 20, where Abraham meets the king of Salem, king of righteousness, and king of peace. And that is 7 years before Genesis 15, 1 to 21. Where he promises to Abraham, you are going to have a child, a son by Sarah. 7 more years after that, which is 2 sevens. Right? He appears to Abraham in the plains of Mamre before the destruction of fire, of Sodom by fire, and guarantees the son is going to come in flesh after the fire. And the son comes 1 year later. Now watch it. 7 Old Testament church ages, 7 New Testament church ages. Start one more, makes an 8, which is millennium. Huh? The guaranteed presence of Jesus in human form. White horse rider coming back and taking over. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, at this time of Genesis 18, where God himself comes down to destroy the Sodom condition of the earth. Now listen, in Noah's day, all flesh has come up before me. He got rid of it by a flood. The black plague literally took fire to kill it. Sodom was destroyed because of sexual sin and sexual diseases. And the end of all flesh has now come up before that one who came down, Melchizedek, because through the sexual sin of homosexuality, neither the women nor the men can beget children because they're having filthy intercourse with each other, male with male and female with female. And they're trying to adopt children. And they're forcing the government. The homos are running the government. As it was in Lot's day. And the people are dying and will die. With a sexual disease, the end of all flesh, and fire alone will destroy it. So that we can come back upon this earth. Who did it? Melchizedek. Now here's what I'm saying. Melchizedek is not Jesus. He is God. Because Melchizedek did not have father, mother, genealogy, beginning or end. He is king of righteousness and king of peace. Exactly the same one in the Garden of Eden where perfection reigned in peace and righteousness. Follow what I'm saying now? How are you going to get back? Who's going to take you there? Now this king of Salem comes to Abraham in chapter 12 after the heat of the battle and gives him communion or bread and wine. Man back in the presence of God and God nurturing the man. Now listen, Isaac isn't even born. Watch it. a picture of Eden. The Father and the Son in communion. I stand at the door knocking. If you open the door, I'll come in. We'll eat together. Abraham eating with the king. And the son isn't even born. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you God came down and reinstituted Eden.
Amen.
Now, the next step is to bring the son on the scene. So the promise comes. You're going to have a son. And the son in type populating, see, Isaac, like Jesus, coming through human loins. God by sex will not bring about a resurrection, but through the power of God in a resurrection, he'll unite the cosmic light, the petroleum, as Brother Branham said, the potash, the calcium, and the minerals, and bring forth a glorified body. Are we getting our picture? See, it all lines up completely perfectly. Now, God nurturing man. But this cannot be until all sons of God are there to replenish the earth. You can't have Melchizedek sitting down in the millennium until all the sons are there. So, what is he doing? He is foreshadowing. What is this act he's doing? Is foreshadowing. And depends on the son in flesh. Now, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. What we read to you, Christ the first fruits, talks about the resurrection. Then behold, I show you mystery. We'll not all sleep. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead are going to be raised, and we're going to be changed. Now watch. At this time, just before the burning, see, which will bring back, will bring the son in human flesh. Abraham's son. God rises with healing in his wings and turns Abraham and Sarah back to youth.
Amen.
Right. The only way the earth could be populated. There is no such thing as they without us being made perfect. The bride has to be separated and made perfect. Brother Branham said so. Which now, see, you're in a progression. But can you believe the progression as God has done it? And the answer is always no, except for the bride. And it's so simple, everybody gets food. They just can't believe he came down. They just can't believe he came down. They just can't believe he vindicated himself. They just can't believe that he is here. Oh, that's a doctrine. You know what that's like? That's like me taking a picture of my Buick and trying to ride it. Go to it, stupid. I don't understand people's thinking. I'm not just horrified. I'm insulted for the sake of my master that I barely claim to serve and barely claim to love and barely claim anything. But something's wrong somewhere. Because if I'm so grossed out an old man on the totem pole, where are they? Under complete deception. At least I know who I am. And I'm trying to get back to you. Now watch in Genesis 15. Melchizedek interposes himself and swears to Abraham he will have a son by Sarah, and these will take over the earth and fulfill Genesis 12, which is king of righteousness entertaining his children. Okay. He interposes himself and swears by Sarah. So, by the bride, he comes down and swears to the bride. Hey, we're taking over. The son's going to come back and set up the kingdom. I'm going to establish it. Then it's in Genesis 18, he has to come down in a type and clean up Sodom, the earth. See, because procreation is finished. If procreation is finished and the sons of God have to come through Adam, which is by flesh, there ain't no more sons. Well, come on. We're not stupid. Hey, you men, get a little scar tissue in your seminal tubes and see what happens. You ain't going to procreate. You can go through every act you want under high heaven. Ain't going to get nowhere. But then get your tubes tied. You're not going anywhere. Children, come this way. It's over. Doctors and scientists know it. We're finished. You talk about a plague. See? All flesh. He's going to bring order upon the earth and establish the Son in the government. Here we see perfectly Malachi 4:1-2. And the conditions of the rapture, which we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, by way of Revelation 10:1-8. What am I saying? Behold, the day cometh, it'll burn like an oven. Then all that do wickedly shall utterly perish, leaving neither room nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, I'll arise with the Son of righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings. In other words, the promise that Jesus made by his death and resurrection proved is on us now. See? Through Revelation 10:1-7, and the conditions are what? Shout, voice, trumpet. What's a shout? A message that puts the church in order. Now follow along with me. How much time we got? Ooh, man, 12 minutes. You've got to murder a guy, don't you? All right, look. Let me just tell you. Would you sooner start tomorrow? I'd sooner start tomorrow. I'm glad you said that you would. But I'm going to start tomorrow. I want to show you something. I want to show you the Bible isn't just written any old way. I used to think it was. It was getting me pretty upset. And understood the law of the parallelism of Scripture. Blessing, cursing, so on. Then I begin to see Melchizedek and see the Scripture in Hebrews. Like showing you tonight, and I've run it many times. Now I'm going to Romans, and I'll show you something. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and your goodness to us, Lord. We know, Lord, I might have said many hard things, and I don't mean to be hard in these things, but God, you know I've got to clench my own soul, oh God, and my own mind against the junk and the things that pour in day by day. I don't even have to ask for it. Come cutting across my mind, oh God, and I don't need it any more than you need it. I want to get rid of it. So I pray, Lord, you'll help us to rid our minds of all these things, to cast down reasonings. Not like Eve did. She walked right into it. And she began examining everything but the Word, and by the time she got back to the Word, it was too late. That rotten little scuzzball had been born. Seed of the serpent. All these things, Lord. We have no truck or trade with them. We want to be completely shuck of it and away from it. All of these things, oh God, we would have out of our lives. Help us, Lord, to bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Until the soul enriched and enlarged by the shout begins to climb, come into its progression. As Brother Branham said, I, the Lord, have planted and watered it, lest any man pluck it out of my hand. We know it's not going to happen. There's going to be a bride, Lord, and by grace, somehow tonight we're part of that bride. Not because we say so, not because we did anything. But Lord, because of your word, you brought it to us. That you brought a John the Baptist to point out that one in flesh. And you brought us William Branham, the spirit of Elijah, for the fourth time to come and point out Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 12. And to realize that the same one that was there in the form of human flesh, doing the works that he did, obligated himself, and has now fulfilled his obligation by coming back amongst the Gentiles and doing the very same thing. In fact, even fulfilling the very words of John, greater works than these shall you do. Until Brother Branham could say, if I came and told you I was Elisha, incarnated and you didn't believe it, it wouldn't do you any good. He said, Lord, that you had more success in his ministry here on earth in the end time than you had in that back there concerning the multiplicity of the acts and wonderments that were before us. And Lord, I believe that in my own little foolish way tonight. I know it's true because he couldn't, that man didn't lie to us. He was vindicated. We know prophets don't lie. We know Balaam stood up there and he was truly a prophet. He wasn't your true prophet. He couldn't lie. And how could William Branham lie with, thus saith the Lord? We know he couldn't. I want to thank you, Lord, for truth that you brought us, absolute truth. The truth of Paul that says, in that day, because we believed, we're going to make it. The truth vindicated, separating. I believe that tonight, Lord, as we prepare for the table, Father, talking about Melchizedek, after the heat of the battle, letting Abraham know, hey, you represent me down here. Your son's going to represent my son. We're going to come to the fullness of what I promised. And now it's all been acted over, reenacted. And we know, Father, we're just on the verge of that 8 day. That's starting over again, the millennium. When you come into your, from your presence to the presence of the incarnation. What a day that is. It boggles our mind, but I know it's true, Lord. And Father, how could I love these things if there wasn't something in me to love them? And delight in them. I don't believe it's a sin, Lord, for our minds to be thrilled with this. If Eve's mind could be thrilled with the junk that Satan gave, then how much more can we be thrilled with the truth that you give? I believe, Lord, that's the real thing. The real strength. Help us to see it tonight. Help us to live it as never before. What's to be lived and what's not to be lived, we just leave it in your hands, trusting. Every day going on in our progression, growing up into him, up to that very head, to the very new Jerusalem in the fullness of God. Unto you, Lord, we commend ourselves, not just to worship, but to worship in fellowship, leaning upon your breast, knowing a Father, drawing from him, and you drawing toward us. Unto thee we ascribe the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we're going to read some scripture. And we always, and almost always go to the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians. And we just read concerning the table, Lord, where Paul has to give a rebuke. Because these people came to the table of the Lord. And they went away in worse shape than when they came. You know, that's what Cain did. He came to the table, to the altar. He went away in worse shape when he came. See, he tried to worship God, and the worship wasn't there because the communion of sonship wasn't there. Now, put it down and understand it. Well, come on. Is this too hard to understand? Is this something too oblique, too much over our heads to know the truth? Those that stand around Jesus worshiping our sons. Those that bring their glory in are from the same cloth, but of a different pattern. Who made the difference? God did. Who's to tell him he made a mistake? Nobody can tell him he made a mistake. Because he doesn't make mistakes. When you see what Brother Branham said, he said, why God knew how many police there would be and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs, how many take to make a pound of tallow. Hey, listen, that's putting it where I just give up. God knows everything. He does everything. I said, what's in the world? Who cares what's out there? I want to know what he said about me. If you and I are brothers and sisters, and we are all children of old John D. Rockefeller, thank God we're not. Probably think I was being a Baptist. You know, that's not the best. If we sat down here, what would we be listening for? Listening to what he left in the will. Now he might come around because we're curious. Envious. Oh, like that. If I'm left out of the will, don't even tell me. I don't want to know what I missed. But if I'm in the will, I want to know. These guys here came to the Lord's table professing the Melchizedek high priest, son of the King of Righteousness, King of Peace, encounter with God. that said, we're going to the millennium. And what they did was so far from the truth, and where their faith lay, they left in worse shape than when they came. Now let's say they did that for 2,000 years. Come on. Roman Catholic Church, Greek Orthodox, Anabaptist, 2,000 years of error. What shape? Oh, come on. Now, I know you're nice, sweet people. Well, you see, Brother Dale, God forgives. And every generation is a different generation. I'm glad you said that. Because I want to read you something. It ain't true. I know you didn't say it because you wouldn't be so foolish. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you'll kill and crucify, and some of them scourge in your synagogues, and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. What about it? What about it? What about it? I gave her space to repent. I'll burn her and her children. What about it? Unbelief. They came to the Lord's Supper, the table of God, and it compounded. It compounded until they hid behind gifts. Pentecost. But he said, I never knew you. Now what you thought would give you a credit has given you a debit. This is what Paul said. I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Now Paul said, you take a word or add a word, he says something wrong. So this is the complete truth. Same manner he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, so oft ye drink it, and remember to me. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now that absolutely has nothing to do with the parousia. The parousia is the coming before he comes. Do you know that Jesus was high priest before he's high priest? Sure was. You know he was a lamb before he was a lamb? He died before he died? Go on, read your Bibles. Kind of hard to talk like God, doesn't it? Now you can make up your mind. If God is pleased with my preaching tonight, or whether he isn't. Because the Bible said God was listening to how people talked one to another. And I'm talking to you. He didn't listen to their prayers, they weren't praying. And he said, a certain people talked a certain way. They said the certain thing. And he said, those are mine. That's 2 Thessalonians. Paul's preaching here. He said, listen. As oft ye eat this and drink this, you show the death. Now back there, in Genesis 12, there wasn't any death. In other words, Christ was crucified from before the foundation of the world. The plan of God was going into effect. He's going to get all his children with him. And it didn't matter how it was going to happen. It was going to happen. And this is where you and I have our eyes tonight. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to us. Taking these emblems signify
the means that God used to make it happen. I cannot fathom it. There's no use me crying. There's no use trying to make myself emotional like I used to do years ago, though I am plenty emotional. It won't work. Because either God's in it or He's not in it. And if He's in it, that's it. He didn't ask me about it. I didn't ask Him about it. Abraham never asked Him. He didn't ask Abraham. Of all people have I chosen you. What are you going to do? You listen to what He said. You just believe what He said. Now, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now listen. Those who... let me get it for you. And I read it right. Why don't they just kind of boondoggle it through by a poor quote? Listen, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. All right, here's what it tells you. The sacrifice of Jesus is legitimate. There it is. But if you don't believe the truth about it, it doesn't do you one bit of good. That's what Paul's saying here. He said, you people have come to the place where you absolutely are taking these emblems without a correct knowledge. Which knowledge can only come by the Holy Spirit as a revelation to you as I preach it. Now, I see, you go through the actions. And you will be accountable.
That's right. Now, Brother Branham said nobody should take the emblems until they're full of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? It means that you have the evidence of the Holy Spirit baptism because you believe this vindicated message. You believe nothing else. Because the Holy Spirit is in the Word. And as you pile word upon word upon word, more and more you're filled with the Holy Ghost, whether you believe it or not. This is what the Bible teaches, the vindicated prophet said. So he said, if you drink unworthily, you're guilty. The sacrifice doesn't do any good. Everything that is against you comes upon you. But if you believe, everything it stands for is in your favor. And one day, you'll sit with Him and partake. You know, many people said, well, we don't take communion anymore because we believe in the presence. Hey, man, you're talking something. Come out of your gourd. You don't understand the doctrine. You don't understand Godhead. There's something wrong somewhere. They even took the same thing and said, well, the second coming's over. They say, I believe that. The second coming is not over. That's part of the seventh seal. That's the hidden part that nobody knows. The part we do know is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Now you see how you can partake of the Lord's Supper? Because deep calleth to deep. In other words, everything the death, the shedding of blood accomplished right now is here before us. Standing right before the white throne. If you are, and He's justified you, then you're standing literally in New Jerusalem because God calls those things which are not as though they were. Abraham stood right there and he called those things which are not as though they were, and they were. So, all right, let a man examine himself. And then eat and drink. How are you going to examine yourself? So, well, I believe I've been a wicked person. Who hasn't? Well, I've been a wonderful person. That's great. No problem there. How do you believe this message? Well, I really don't. You're an unbeliever.
Tomorrow I'll read you something. Something that's going to be a shocker. Right here on the middle. I'll have time. It'll be a real shocker. What's going on? The subtlety of the enemy, like Brother Brandon told us. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. At this hour. You know why? The Son of Righteousness could be rising upon us, giving us more and more health as we believe this message. Is there a lack of believing this message in this building? When I preached perfect faith, people got healed. Many people, different people, I would say many, many, but quite a few got healed. I can tell you one thing, there's no such thing as a woman dragging herself in a furrow where she can't look out with Candida and Epstein-Barr and the next morning be super healthy without God doing something. Ask Margie. Aaron doesn't get healed just by accident. Pete didn't get healed just by accident. My wrist didn't get healed just by accident. And we could name others. Is how you apply this word to your life in faith. See? If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. How do you judge yourself? Casting down every reasoning. Approach the table tonight with perfect faith in the Word of God. See, look, live or die, sink or swim. Right or wrong, I'm taking because I believe this message. I don't know if I believe it all 100% right, but I want to believe it 100% right. I know one thing, Brother Branham was right. I might understand it, but he is right. Every time I've used that phraseology, God's come to my rescue. When I say, when was he wrong? He never was wrong. Right away, the answer began coming through just like a cutting through a light from a projector shining on a screen. Let's rise. The brethren come forward. The sir was going to serve. The others who are going to play, you come right along here. And you know how we come. They come from the very back. From the south over there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness tonight. That you give us your word, Lord. And though it might come seemingly hard to some people, it's not meant to be hard, Lord. And yet, if a sword is not made out of tempered steel, you might as well just have a cucumber in your hand. So I wouldn't do any good, Lord. So if we're wrong in any way in our attitudes or form, whatever, we pray you forgive us. Calm our spirits down, O Lord God. And help us to be one with your word as we come forward tonight. Knowing that the washing of water by the word to present a bride spotless is what we're talking about tonight. And therefore we can come, we should come, we must come to partake in faith. Knowing, Lord, that what you haven't revealed, and we must know, you will reveal. Even as it was progressive with Abraham, even with your son, it's progressive with us. And we're coming more and more into that image. Unto thee we give the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll be singing from the Hymns of Glorious Praise, starting with number 89. Singing the first three verses of number 89, Glory to His Name. the cross.
Oh.
grace.